Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily 10 minutes with Jesus, and today we're beginning our look at Colossians with Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verses 1 through 12. Colossians is an interesting book. Obviously, all of them are, but Paul never visited Colossae to the best of our knowledge. Rather, and we'll see some of those details in the letter, rather, somebody from Colossae came and visited him, probably while he was at Ephesus, or maybe while he was in prison, and Paul wrote a letter of encouragement to them. And a lot of the themes and a lot of the ideas that are here in Colossians are also echoed in the book of Ephesians. And that would make sense because they are in, you know, relatively the same geographic area, dealing with many of the same problems. Ephesus is on like the western coast of modern day Turkey, and Colossae is a little bit further inland, straight inland from there. And a couple of things that we see and that we notice, about 30, 40, 50 years after Paul wrote this, and especially growing up over the next century, I suppose, there's this idea of Gnosticism that really sprung up in this area of Asia Minor. Gnosticism denied, first of all, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and that he has a physical body. And then secondly, Gnosticism also had this lurking Greek idea that the body is bad, that the, you know, the flesh is bad, that matter is bad. And therefore, first of all, it doesn't matter how you act. Second of all, it is good for you to abuse your body in whatever way you see fit. And third of all, that the idea of the resurrection is laughable. And so Paul is probably dealing with a lot of those ideas already, although they haven't exploded into full-blown heresy. They are certainly ideas that are spooking around in that area. And we see it here in Colossians. It's echoed a little bit in Ephesians. Can't talk today, sorry. And then a little bit later, about 30 or 40 years after Paul writes this letter, John, the Apostle John, writes 1 John, and he kind of deals with the same issue. John had been pastor at Ephesus after Paul passed away for probably the last, you know, 20 or 30 years of his life. So John dealt with a lot of the same ideas, and he deals with it a lot more bluntly because the heresy had grown and spread by that time, by the time he's writing in the late 80s or early 90s AD. So here in Colossians, what should we expect to see? First of all, talk about Jesus being the physical incarnation of God himself, that this is the Son of God in the flesh. Second of all, encouragement for how to live, and that, you know, we can't just live willy-nilly, and we shouldn't think that our bodies are something to be abused either through excess or through neglect. And then third of all, pointing us to the reality and the reassurance of the resurrection. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints because of the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. You have already heard about this word in the word of truth, the gospel, that is present with you now. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing in the entire world, just as it also has been doing among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth. You learn this from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He is the one who told us about your love in the Spirit. For this reason, from the day we heard about your love, we also have not stopped praying for you. We keep asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you might live in a way that is worthy of the Lord. Our goal is that you please him by bearing fruit in every kind of good work and by growing in the knowledge of God, as you are being strengthened with all power because of his glorious might working in you. Then you will have complete endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. This is the word of our God. And so Paul writes, Timothy is with him. It's possible that Paul is dictating to Timothy and Timothy is writing it down. That would not in any way violate the doctrine of inspiration. But it's something that Paul seems to have done a couple of times, where he you know, he makes reference in, I think at the end of Galatians, where he talks about what large letters he writes with his own hands, and a couple of other letters we hear about somebody who like tucks in his own greeting at the end. I don't know if it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, I forget. But anyway, Paul's with Timothy here. Timothy is with Paul. And Epaphras from Colossae has come to visit Paul. And so Paul says, you know what? We thank God. We've heard of your faith. We've heard of the love you have for all the saints. And that love springs from the hope of heaven. You notice those three things put together again, faith, hope, and love. These three things really characterize the Christian faith both now and in eternity. Faith, hope, and love. And this faith, hope, and love is conveyed to us in the gospel. And the gospel is present with you now. And it's not just, Paul reminds them that it's not just them and their little old church in Colossae plugging along with whatever Epaphras had told them, but it's this gospel that is bearing fruit in all the world. He kind of zooms out and gives them a little bit more perspective to say, oh yeah, there are other Christians and other believers and people who have heard this and studied it and judged it, people who have walked with Christ. And this gospel is creating faith all around the world. We're united in this faith. Verse 7, this is where we hear, you know, about Epaphras. You learn this from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He is the one who told us about your love in the Spirit. So we don't know how Epaphras came in contact with the gospel. His name is a Greek name. And so we assume that at some point, obviously, somebody had brought the gospel to him, unless he had been a convert from Judaism during his years when he was growing up. But now he is a believer, and he is the one who arrived at Colossae with the gospel. And so the congregation at Colossae has basically called him to be their pastor. And they've heard that Paul is in prison and Epaphras goes to visit him. And so Paul says, verse 9, from the day we heard about your love, we have not stopped praying for you. And what is the content of their prayer? We keep asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you might live in a way that is worthy of the Lord. He's already introducing one of these major themes, that how we live matters, that how we live for the Lord matters. And in the next portion of this chapter, we'll get into the other major theme of the book, where he talks about the person of Jesus Christ, who has a physical body. But you can see that Paul doesn't skimp words. Obviously, he builds some rapport, builds some trust, and he compliments them for what he had heard about them. But then he gets right down to brass tacks. He doesn't dance around. He says, you know, this is part of living your life worthy of the Lord. And he'll delve into it a little bit later. But he likes to include most of the major themes in the opening, you know, opening chapter or so of his letters. And he does the same thing here. And our goal, verse 10, our goal is that you please him by bearing fruit in every kind of good work and by growing in the knowledge of God, as you are being strengthened with all power. Another group of three, bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power. Then, the result of that, that gospel's work in you, then you will have complete endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. And so you can see the encouragement that Paul has for them here. First of all, you're not alone. Secondly, it does matter. And then thirdly, which we'll get into the next section of chapter 1 here, that this Jesus has come in the flesh, and that makes all the difference. And so he says, you know, I can't help but give thanks to God when I've heard about another church that God, by his work, has begun and has grown, because that's how it works, because God does the work. And we also see the other aspect that really kind of jumps out, is verses 3, 4, and 5. The faith and the love that springs from the hope of heaven, those things prompt how we live, that we live lives worthy of the gospel, that we live lives, how does he put it? We live lives worthy of our Lord, and we go on serving our Lord in this truth. And you kind of really get the impression, and obviously you can't miss it here, that God does the starting work and God continues the completing work. That God is the one who brought you to faith, and God is the one who has given you the hope of heaven through his Son. And now God continues that work in each of us, that we may live lives that are worthy of his name, and live lives that give glory to God. And what that looks like is patience, endurance, joy, which is, it's not happiness. Happiness is an emotion based on external events, like I'm happy that the Packers won the Super Bowl. Joy is it comes from the inside, is an internal emotion that does not depend on circumstances. So the example I normally think of is at a Christian funeral, and we've all been there, or maybe you have, maybe you haven't been there. I shouldn't make assumptions, but at a Christian funeral, people aren't necessarily happy because they miss their loved one. But at the same time, they're joyful because their loved one is safe with Jesus in heaven. And so as you go about your day, just take a moment to contemplate the hope of heaven that Jesus has won for you, and how that hope of heaven changes every aspect of your life here on earth. It provides joy. It encourages love. It leads us to ask, how can I live a life worthy of my Lord? How can I say thank you with what I do? Because my Lord has given me everything, and I have nothing to worry about. You can find us Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings at 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. You could also check us out on Instagram. Just look up at Raised with Jesus. And if you're not within driving distance of Toledo, Ohio here, I would encourage you to check out that link in the show notes, yearbook.wells.net, and find a church nearby. And finally, if you have any questions or any topics that you would like us to cover, feel free to look in the show notes and contact me, Pastor Hagen. God bless your day.